Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's find Luke chapter 16 tonight. You know, I want to talk, what I'm preaching tonight is, probably would in the natural would make more sense to wait till Sunday morning when everyone's here, because I'm going to talk about, our assignment for this coming year from the Lord. But I'm doing it tonight. Well, one reason I'm doing it tonight is because I just really feel like the Lord wants me to talk about baptism Sunday morning and just, the power of that and what it means. We're having a baptism, and I just feel like He really wants me to talk about that. And so, you hear it, you may want to get baptized again because it's going to mean maybe more to you when we get done. But, anyway, people can go back and watch this online, or, if they're so inclined to do that, they can. But, we started talking, I guess it was Sunday before last, we started talking about pressing in. Right. And then the Lord, if you remember, I think it was in that service we had a prophetic word, and the Lord let us know that that was to be our theme for this coming year. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's going to be a year of pressing in. Amen. God's always got more for us. And no matter where you're at, how many know there's more? And He can take you, man. I'm telling you, He can take you from the lowest place to the highest place. Amen. And, look what the Lord's done in your life already. You know what I'm saying? I ran into a guy here a couple weeks ago or so in a restaurant that I hadn't seen in probably, a long time, maybe 25, 30 years. He was an old friend of mine. Well, it's been a long time since I saw him. And I don't really know. I don't know how many years, but it's been a long time since I last saw him. And I wouldn't have really recognized who he was, but somebody I was with also knew him, and they pointed him out and said, you know who that is. Well, I didn't know until they told me, because, we do change over time. Some of us get better looking. Some of us get uglier. I fall in the first class. But anyway, and I hope you do too. But anyway, I went over to the table and just talked to him, started talking to him, and he said, man, I heard you're a preacher. And I said, yeah. And he said, one of the first things that came out of his mouth after that is, who would hire you to preach? And so nobody hired me. God anointed me and called me, but I said to him, God does change people. He said, well, I remember when we used to play poker and stuff, and he said, do you remember that? I don't need to remember that. But anyway, and so he's thinking, the old me, and like, man, who would hire that guy to preach? Well, nobody with any sense would have. But when Jesus gets a hold of your life, how many know He changes you? It seemed like the guy's wife kind of understood it, but he was like, who would hire you, man? Well, listen, God changes us. I'm not the old creature I used to be. Amen. And you may think, man, I'm pretty good, Pastor. I'm doing pretty good. Well, listen, no matter where you're at, there's more.
Yes,
there is. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. Let's go here to Luke chapter 16 and verse 16. We're just going to challenge all of us. I'm challenging myself. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging this church that we press in for more this year, coming year. Luke chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. So, Jesus, when He was on the earth, he was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was personified in Jesus. And He said, everybody now has to press into the kingdom. You don't just fall into the kingdom. You don't just accidentally fall into the kingdom. You got to press into the kingdom. I've never heard a testimony where someone got saved and they said, I got saved the other night and I wasn't even trying to get saved. I didn't want to get saved. Matter of fact, I'm kind of mad that I did get saved. I mean, they have to press into it. And if we're going to press into the kingdom, We got to be active about it.
Right.
Amen? I've heard this over the years. If God wants me to have something, well, I'll just have it. That's just not true. you'll have what you believe for. Now think about this. Think about some people. Let me give you some examples from the Gospels. What about the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible says she had an issue of blood for 12 years and was nothing bettered, but rather just kept getting worse. Then she heard of Jesus. She heard of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says she spent all that she had. So that tells me, you know, just by reading that, it kind of alludes to me she was a wealthy woman. Because if you can pay doctors for 12 years, you got some money, right? And so she had some wealth, probably might have drained all of her wealth just trying to get better, trying to get fixed. And so, but then she heard of Jesus. She heard of the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us she got out of bed. She got out of her home. You know, it's sad today that Christians won't even get out of their house to come to the house of God now. And so, am I rebuking? Yes, some people need some rebuke. God, listen, let me just say this to you. Let's just be blunt about it. God gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He gave us pastors to shepherd your soul. Now, a lot of people, Christians, are living like they don't need a shepherd, but they're wrong. That's a gift of God. You're not rejecting a man. You're rejecting Jesus. He's the one that gave these gifts. So it's like, I can just have church at home. Or, you know, you need a shepherd. I need to see you face to face. I don't just need to see your tithe in the mail. I need to see you. All right? You're here. You know, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to the camera. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You guys are here. My point in saying that is this woman got out of her house. She did something that was really, honestly, could have got her stoned. She was out in public, unclean. And she came to the place where Jesus was at. And the guy that had the authority to stone her, the ruler of the synagogue, was there. And she presses through the crowd. And this, I'm telling you now, listen, man, this was a thick crowd. She pressed through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and was made whole. Now, there was a lot of people around Jesus because Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Peter's like, well, and the disciples are like, "Everybody's touching you. Everybody's bumping into you." Amen. It's like being in an elevator with 25 people and say, "Who touched me?" It's crowded. And so she pressed in. I said, she pressed in. And she got what she needed because she pressed into the kingdom of God. See? And I thought about another story. I've preached on these stories over the years. I like these stories about Jesus' ministry. There was a man that had, the King James says he was sick of the palsy. He was a paralytic. And they took him to the meeting where Jesus was preaching and couldn't get in the door. So they got up on top of the roof, tore the roof up, and let him down. Amen. Through the roof on his cot there. Come on. Jesus is preaching. And all of a sudden, stuff starts falling on him. You know what I'm saying? Straw and stuff start. This is real life, man. He's preaching. And all of a sudden, the roof opens up. I mean, Jesus could have got aggravated and said, "Where is security at?" Or have these guys never been to membership class? This is not how you enter church. But you know what? The Bible said he looked up and he saw their faith. Now, somebody's house, somebody's roof got destroyed. But Jesus didn't mention anything about the roof. He said, "Man, your faith has made," he said, "your faith has saved you." Amen.
Amen.
Well, they pressed in. Then I thought about a little guy by the name of Zacchaeus. Remember, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was rich. And he was rich because more than likely he was overcharging people. Matter of fact, his own testimony seems to indicate that. And people did not like Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming, and the Bible says he was of short stature, and he couldn't see Jesus for all the crowd, so he climbed up on a tree so he could see Jesus. And when Jesus was walking by, he saw Zacchaeus up on the tree, and he said, "Come down, Zacchaeus, for today I must abide at your house. I got to come to your house." And people got aggravated. Jesus, they said, "Doesn't he know this man's a sinner?" But you know what? Zacchaeus pressed in, And Jesus said, salvation's come to your house today. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we have to press in, everybody. We have to press in. Remember James said, if you draw nigh to God, He will do what? He'll draw near to you. So if you take a step towards Him, He takes a step towards you. Amen. You know, I'm just can't figure out, Pastor, why I just don't sense God. We got to draw near to God. You got to draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. Amen. Now, I want you to go with me. I'm going to look at a few scriptures tonight. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, because I want to show you some things that this is in our Bible in different places that we're to press in. We're to press in. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for people that are hungry and are pressing in. Yep. You know what? They get a lot more than those that don't. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm glad, you know, there's people that are still hungry for God, aren't you? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank God. You know, some of them come to this church. They're hungry for God. I mean, they're still hungry. Some of them, you know, one of the things I like to see in new converts is this hunger, man. Because I think, man, I recognize that. I had that when I was first saved. And I still have it. I'm still hungry for God. But I need to cultivate it more. Amen. And then I see people in this church that I've known for a long time, and I think, you know what? They're still the ones that are hungry for God. They're still the ones pursuing God. They're still the ones doing the work. I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. There's people still pressing in. Glory to God. But I think, you know, God's got more for us this year, and we're going to receive more than what we have if we press in. Amen. Paul said this, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. He said, not as though I had already attained. Well, if he hadn't attained, how many know you and I haven't attained? Right. Neither were already perfect, but I follow after, or I press on, if I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, I want to apprehend everything Christ apprehended me for. Right. Christ has apprehended us, man, for He's got a plan for us. He's got a purpose for us. He's got things for us. Glory to God. You know, I don't believe everybody's story of supernatural things that happened to them, but some people are telling the truth. And one particular person said that, you know, they got to heaven and they saw this storehouse just full of stuff. And they asked the angel, what is this? He said, that's all the blessings I have for my people that they haven't claimed. That's what the angel was saying, that for God, you know, from God, speaking on behalf of God. These are all the blessings. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to claim all of mine. Yes. And I plan on coming out of 2022 with more than what I had before I went in. Are you with me now? Amen. You know, I don't care what happens. I do care, but listen to the way I'm saying this. I don't care what happens in the earth. It's not going to affect me. Mm-hmm. Right. Amen. COVID didn't stop me. I hope it didn't stop you. I know it didn't stop you. But, you know, it stopped a lot of people, you know, and all. But listen, let's stand for the blessing of God. Right. Amen. I made up my mind, you know, when the COVID thing came, but I'm not going to let this change my lifestyle. Right. I'm not going to do it. Well, I'm not letting now, that doesn't mean, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That doesn't mean that you don't need to take certain precautions at times. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm not letting it stop my life. Amen. I'm not letting something the devil cooked up change me. I'm going to let God's word change me. Amen. Now, all right. He said, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Everybody say reaching forth. That's pressing on, isn't it? Pressing on to those things which are before. So there's some things. Paul, here he is. He writes 2/3 of the New Testament, and he said, there's still some things before me. There's still some things before me. Amen. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you you're too old. Don't let the devil tell you you're too young. Age has nothing to do with it. Amen. I mean, I think about, you know, listen now. Maybe you don't know who this is. Probably a lot of you do. But there's a lady she's still preaching. That man, she's been preaching for a long time. She was preaching when I first got saved. I'd listen to her preach, and she's preaching before I got saved. Her name's Marilyn Hickey. Now, she is probably right now 89 years old. I said 89. And you know what she still does? She still goes overseas and holds massive crusades at 89 years old. And I saw something from her here a while back, and the plans and things she's got planning to do in the ministry. Now, you know, your carnal mind says you're 89. Don't make too big of plans. But that's carnal. She may be 109 and still going. Are you with me now? I think what kills a lot of people is they quit living. They quit pressing on. Amen. You know, I remember seeing, you know, when I was young, Mom used to exercise with a guy on TV named Jack LaLanne. Anybody old enough remember him? I saw him, I don't know how old he was, in 80s or 90s. He had arms better shaped and defined than mine. I said, that ain't much, Pastor. Well, all right, they were better than yours, all right? Praise God. You know, and still working out, still exercising. Why? Because he just kept pressing on. Mm-hmm. See, the devil's the one that will tell you, just set on your blessed assurance and don't go any further. Because he knows God's got more for you, but he also knows if he can convince you just to sit down and don't do anything, don't press any further, you're not going to get it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. See, God has a whole lot more for us. Hallelujah. I'm expecting more. Amen. Praise God. Dr. Summerall said one time, he said, man, God, wherever you're moving in the earth, let me be there. That should be our heart. Right. Amen. Verse 14. Notice this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there's a higher calling. There's some say the upward call, or there's a higher call that we have that we can press into. Now here's what I wanted to get to, verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, or everybody say mature, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, what is he saying? Everybody that's mature has a mindset to keep pressing on. To keep pressing on. Nevertheless, verse 16, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And what is he saying? Well, here's what we're to do. No matter where we're at, we need to walk by this same rule, this rule of pressing on, that I'm going to press on, praise God, and I'm going to get more. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I love it when I see older ministers that haven't quit, that are still talking about the future, that are still pressing in to God. I'll tell you, one shining example to the body of Christ of pressing on is Brother Copeland. I mean, here he is, 85 years old, looks a lot younger than that, has energy, goes up and down the steps, zoom, zoom. Amen. Still holding meetings all over the place and still talking about what he's going to do in the future. Amen. He says he's going to live to be 120. I don't doubt it. You know, when he first started saying that, I had this unbelief in my 120. Now, after all these years and watching him, I'm thinking, I believe he's going to make it. Hallelujah. He said, well, I don't want to live to 120. Well, you don't have to. I don't want to live to 120 if I'm going to be beat up, you know, broken down. No, I'll go to heaven. But if I can be strong, why not? Glory to God. He said the Lord gave him a mandate to do that. Well, you know, and he's certainly showing it. Praise God. Amen. And so I like that. I like to see, just keep pressing on. God's got more for us. Yes. Glory to God. We just have to just respond to Him and press in. Yes. Glory to God. Now, how are we going to press in? Well, I'll talk to you about that in just a little bit. I am going to look at some scripture tonight. We got a little time here. Verse 17, let's read that, and then we'll move to another scripture. He says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. What's he saying? Follow those that keep pressing on. Follow those that are hungry. Don't follow those that aren't. Follow those that are hungry. You know, the one you think is a fanatic, follow that one. Because that's probably the one that's hungry. Amen. You know what they say, a fanatic is somebody that's more stirred up about God than you are. So follow that. Now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go there. And I want to read a scripture here. And come on, are you getting something out of this tonight? All right, we'll just get kind of just laying a foundation here. I just want to press in more and more and more. God's got more. He's not done. Hallelujah. He's got more for you. You need to get excited about it. Thank God. What is it? What more? I don't know. You know, sometimes He reveals things to you that are about to come, but sometimes He just surprises you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm not done with the blessing of God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not done in the natural, like the financial blessing, material blessing. I mean, that's not the most important to me, but I'm not done letting God bless me there. I don't know about you. Well, maybe you are. I'll take yours. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you know, I'm kind of got to the point now where Phyllis and I both have just decided that, we're tired of moving. And so we kind of like saying, let's just stay here for the rest of our life until Jesus comes back. But I'm not sold on that, because if God wants to bless me with a bigger, better house, I'll take it. We'll just have a church move day and I'll sit back and watch y'all move it. We did that one time. I remember when we first started, man, we were moving someplace. We had a bunch of young guys in the church then. They were like 20, 21, 20, and they wanted to show off their strength. Man, I just let them go, man. I said, I bet you guys can't move that treadmill. Oh, yeah, Pastor, we can get that, man. Just let them go, man. I just watched them. And so we'll get people like young Kenny back there, and we'll move. Praise God. Hallelujah. He'll throw that piano on the back of the truck. Amen. So, you can't close God off. I remember I was at a meeting one time years ago, and this minister, God had blessed him because he needed it in his ministry. He needed an airplane. God had blessed him with a nice airplane. And he said, I was flying from one place to another, and I was just thanking God for blessing me with this, because God gave it to him. He said, I'm just thanking him. Lord, I thank you. He said, I heard the Lord say this to me. He said, is this all I can do? He said, Lord, in other words, come again, Lord. He said, is this as far as I can bless you? He said, what if I wanted to give you a 747? Anybody know what a 747 is? That is a plane that if you take off with it, you better be rich, very rich, because it sucks a lot of fuel. And it's a big plane. And he said, I thought, what would I ever need with a 747? But he said, yeah, Lord, if you want to bless me with more, that's fine. He said, I'm not kidding. We landed at this airport in Ohio to fuel. And he said, there at the airport was a 747, and it had Jesus as Lord on the side of it. He said, who in the world owns that? He said, I know all the ministries, most of the big ministries in America, and none of them have a 747. He said, so he asked his pilot, he said, call back to the tower and find out who owns that 747. And they said, it's a preacher by the name of Ernest Angsley. Now, he's in heaven now, and he hasn't been gone that long, just a few years, but he pastored a church in Ohio, and he had healing crusades. And Ernest, you know, he had a lot of miracles and stuff in his meeting, but he had that 747, and he found out that God gave Ernest Angsley a 747, because when he would go on the mission field, he'd take a big part of his church with him. He'd load that thing up with his people and fly over there and do missions. So he needed a 747. Hallelujah. You know, that thing, if you don't know anything about aviation fuel, that thing would cost thousands of dollars just to fly the thing anywhere. Thousands of dollars. I mean, you'd have to have a lot of money just to fly the thing to Pittsburgh, let alone across the world. You know. And so God had given him a 747 so he could go on the mission field and take his people with him and do missions work. Well, glory to God. if the world can have a 747, why can't Ernest Angley have a 747? And he did have. I don't know who's got it now. He's in heaven. Amen. Let me tell you a story about Ernest. You want to hear a story about Ernest? Okay, so a story about Ernest. Ernest was kind of funny sometimes. You know, a lady came up one of his meetings one time, and look, don't get offended at this if you smoke, because there's a lot worse things than smoking, but smoking's not good for your health. How many know that? Right. Along with a lot of other things. Like overeating cookies. And so this lady comes up to him, and she wants delivered, you know, from smoking. So Ernest just smacks her. He said, take that to the parking lot. I mean, the power of God came on her. But that's not the story I want to tell you. I just thought that was funny. Anyway, a minister that I know, I still know him. He's in heaven now. It seems like all the ministers I know are in heaven, but I don't know what that says. But it's like, this guy shouldn't be in heaven. He's not much older than I am, but he passed on, went to heaven. But he said I was in an Ernest Angley meeting one night, and he said it was a real cold night, and he said the auditorium's kind of wasn't as many people as normally would be there because it snowed real heavy. He said, but me and another pastor went to the Ernest Angley's meeting, and he said Ernest is up there praying for people. To, you know, for healing. And he said, all of a sudden, Ernest Angley stops and he says, there's somebody here that you were born without a pupil in your eye. If you come up, God will heal you. And then he starts praying for people. And he said, he went on praying for people for a long time. And he said, I thought to myself, he's decided to forget that word. How many know that is a strong word? Come on, are you with me now? So he said, Ernest gets praying for him, and then all of a sudden he stops. He says, is that person without that pupil? Are you coming in your eye? Are you coming up or not? And then he started praying for him. He said, I saw this 12-year-old boy. He said he walked right by me, and he had his little sister by the hand. And he said, I took a look at her eye as she walked by. He said, she not only did not have a pupil, she didn't have an iris. It was snow white. There wasn't anything in there. And so this little boy brings his sister, little sister, up on the platform. And Ernest stops and he starts exhorting. He says, now this won't be a regular miracle. Like if we don't know that. Now this is a man that I knew for years. He preached for us, not here, but other places. I trust him what he said. He said, Ernest put his finger, his thumb on her eye and said, blink. And he said, when she blinked, everything was in her eye. Hallelujah. Amen. She got more excited about it than you. Actually, he said her little brother. He said when they came off the platform, he said the little boy, the 12-year-old boy, had his little sister by the hand. He said, they walked right by us, and he said, I saw her eye, and everything was in her, and her little brother was just crying his eyes out. We're going to see more of that if we'll have some faith about us and get committed. Amen. And press in. You know, Ernest pressed in. He wasn't just playing with this thing. Amen. Now, are you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Verse 23, it says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I mean, that's completely. God wants us complete, praise God. How many know there's room to grow here, isn't there? And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, everything about your spirit, everything about your soul, and everything about your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, to me, that speaks of pressing in. See, I there's something here that's, you know, I think the order that Paul spoke this in, I think it really means something. He said your whole spirit, in other words, put your spirit first. What does that mean? Listen, too many believers, they get born again, they're going to heaven, but their spiritual life isn't the most important thing to them. Their natural life. What they do in the natural, that's more important to them, maybe their job, you know, their family, which all these things are important, but our spiritual life ought to come first. Amen. I've said this before, you know, we don't sell hardly any CDs now. I guess it's because of all the multimedia, but we used to sell, I mean, remember the cassette days, we just had to keep ordering cassettes because people were so hungry. And I'm not saying they're not, maybe they're getting it some other way now, but I hope that's what's happening, but we don't hardly sell any CDs any longer. And You know, because people just aren't buying them, and that may be because that's a dinosaur. You know what I'm saying? To me, I still miss cassettes. You know, because you could stop them and they'd stay put where you stopped them. You could back them up easy. And I don't know why we had to move on. But anyway, that's progress, I guess. But anyway, you know, and so, but here's the thing. In the days when we were selling cassette series and CD series, you know, I mean, some people like, oh my gosh, $28 for that? Wouldn't buy it. $28. I understand sometimes people struggle. I remember a guy one time when I was first getting started, he had a prosperity series for $100. I thought, man, if I had $100, I wouldn't need your prosperity series. But that was a long time ago, okay? And that was just my thinking at the time. It's like, man, I need your series. I got $100. I'm good, you know. But anyway, what I would see is be like, oh my gosh, $28 for a 6 CD series, well, that's too high. And then leave and go buy a $28 meal. Now, what's that tell you? What about people that pay $100? I don't know what gym membership is. This is just a shot in the dark. Maybe it's not even near this much. What about people that pay $120 a month to go to the gym and don't even give to their church? Amen. You think their priorities are right? No, their spiritual life isn't first. Their natural life is first. That's not you. Why are you getting so quiet on me? Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Gosh, if I have to keep pumping for amen, I'm going to give me one of those laughing, clapping things, you know, machines, and have Scott hook it up so I can at least have some response. All right. Now listen now. See, I'm talking about you. See, you can check your priorities by what you do. Don't just, you can't just, it's easy just to say, yeah, I'm spiritual. I seek God first. Yes, sir, I put God. But does your life show that? Does your life prove that? Do you really? Or can anything knock you? And now, this isn't for you. You're here. But can anything knock you out of church? A lot of you can't. A lot of you. See, here's what I found over pastoring. You know, there are people in your church that if they miss, you're like, what's going on? Then there are people that if they miss, you don't think anything about it. Then there are people, if they show up, you think, what's going on? You have three classes of people. It's like, my gosh, what happened? How'd they get here today? Come on, you with me? How many know? All of us in the church should be of that category. To where if you're gone, we think, man, something must be going on. And there's many of you that come here that if you're gone, I know, man, something really came up because you don't let stuff knock you out. Amen. That's good. That's the way our spiritual lives ought to be first. They ought to be first. We ought to think about feeding our spirit as much as we do feeding our body. Right? Now I want you to go 2 Corinthians, because I want to read this scripture. There's two scriptures I want to read yet. One of them is in 2 Corinthians. I want you to go there, because I'm gonna preach some on this later on, but not right now. But I just want to bring something out of the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to bring something out of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Now, first of all, Paul is talking about the glory of the old covenant versus the glory of the new covenant. And he said the old covenant was glorious, but how much more glorious is the new covenant? In verse 18, he said, but we all, with open face or unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed. Everybody say changed. Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, what's this verse mean, Pastor? Well, Paul is simply talking about the Israelites beholding the glory of the old covenant, which glory was done away with. And he's comparing it to how much more glorious the new covenant is. And he's saying that you and I, as believers, there's no veil, like Moses had the veil over him to hide the glory of God that was on him. there's no veil on us. We can plainly see the glory of the new covenant. And how many know when you look into the mirror, what do you see? Well, this is a deep question. What do you see? If you look in the mirror and you see me, something's wrong. When you look into the mirror, you see yourself. Now, when you look into God's mirror of the new covenant, you don't see yourself as you are. You see the glory of the Lord. What is he saying? You see what God has made you to be in the new covenant. You see your redemption. You see his glory. And he said, we are to go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. There's one scripture that says we ought to go from strength to strength, deep to deep, faith to faith. Proverbs tells us our path ought to grow brighter and brighter. It'll just keep getting brighter. Amen. Now listen to this. Here's what the Lord would say to us. Now listen to this. I wrote this down. I don't want you to miss this. I didn't want to miss this. Listen to this now. Though, and I'm talking about for this year. Everybody say this coming year, 2022. 2022. This is it. Those who press in will go from glory to glory. Now listen, that's good. But he also warned us. He said those who don't, from disaster to disaster and failure to failure. So there's going to be some of us that this coming year are going to go from glory to glory. There's going to be others who are going to go from disaster to disaster and failure to failure. It would depend on whether we press in. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to press in. Brother Hagin prophesied one time. Here's what he said. And this I think is it's good for our day. He said this, give God a tithe of your time and all will be well with you. Your life will be changed. Well, a tithe, probably everybody in here tonight gives a tithe of their money. What about a tithe of your time to God? What would that be? That'd be like 2 hours and 24 minutes a day to God. Now, you know, God's not, you know, I'm not talking about being legalistic, but I think it's something we ought to shoot for. Amen. I mean, come on. You know, I don't have 2 hours and 24 minutes. Well, you'd be surprised what you actually have if you'll just take the time to do it. I know sometimes you got family, you got kids and all, and, you know, they're all still at home. It's a little tough. But, you know, it's amazing what you can do. Just put a CD on and let the Word preach to you. Hallelujah. Spend some time in prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost. Your life, I believe what Brother Hagin said was by the Spirit, that your life will be changed. It'll go well with you. Hallelujah. Amen. I thought that, you know, that's something that's really, really good that we need to get a hold of. Amen. Now, finally, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. I know we looked at some scripture tonight. All these things, you know, that we've read, they're just scriptures that they just speak to us to keep pressing in. Just keep pressing in. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And God said, look, as you're finding out, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy that I like. God said to Israel, he said, you've dwelt long enough at this mountain. Get going. You've been here too long. You ever felt like that? Like, I mean, I've been at the same spot spiritually way too long, and I need to move on. Am I the only one that's ever felt that way? Well, I think this year is a good year to move on. Right. Hallelujah. And to get, you know, all that Father has for us. Amen. He's got a lot of things for us. Now, Matthew chapter 13, let's go there. Verse 44, Jesus said this. In verse Matthew 13, 44, he said again, he's just telling what the kingdom's like, kingdom of God. He said again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, when he's found it, he hides and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. This is really interesting what Jesus is saying. He said, this is the way the kingdom of God works. This is the way the kingdom of God works. When you find the kingdom, you find the good things in the kingdom, you sell all you have for it. What does that mean? You give it all for it. You give it all out. Think about this. If you saw some land that was for sale, and you went and looked at it, and you discovered there's like gold in it, there's natural gas on it, there's oil on it, and you know it's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. What are you going to do? Are you going to just say, well, you know, I don't have the money to buy it? Maybe the land's $200,000, but you know it's worth millions and millions of dollars. What are you going to do? You're going to do everything you can, right? You will sell your car. You will sell the truck, Bubba. You will sell the house. You will sell the cat. You will sell the dog. You will sell everything. You will borrow. You will scrape. You will do whatever. You will beg. You will do whatever you can to get that, because you know the value of it. Amen. You will give all you got, Jesus said, for the kingdom. Well, that's the way we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to value the things of the kingdom of God so much that we're willing to give our all for it. We're willing to do whatever it takes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. These scriptures will stir you up, man, to not just quit on things, but just keep pressing in. Glory to God. Why? Because there's treasure in this field called the kingdom of God. There's treasure here to be found and to be had. But only those that will pay the price. Only those that will sell all they have. Only those that will give everything they have. Will give it all up for God. Will go out full force after it. Hallelujah. That means they'll be praying when they don't feel like praying. They'll be getting in God's Word when they don't feel like getting in God's Word. They'll be in the house of God when they don't feel like being in the house of God. They'll cut off their flesh when they don't feel like cutting off their flesh. They'll do whatever it takes, amen, to be in the kingdom and to get a hold of the treasure that's here. Because there's treasure in this kingdom. It's full of treasures. Glory be to God. God not only has natural treasures, but most importantly, He's got spiritual treasures. Every day I thank Him, not only for my spiritual blessings, but also natural blessings. I thank Him for it all. Hallelujah. I'm not done. Are you done? I'm not done walking in the blessing of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to step it up. I'm more in, because here's what I know. Jesus said, if you put the kingdom first, everything will be added to you. Yep. Glory to God. Put your spiritual life first. Spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Feed your spirit, man. See, most people wouldn't think about missing meals. Amen. F.F. Bosworth, you know, but they'll think about missing spiritual meals. Don't think a thing about it. And don't realize it really has repercussions in all areas of life. It really does. You know, F.F. Bosworth, who was a great healing evangelist back in the healing days of the 50s and all, he made a statement that was really good. He said, the reason why Christians have trouble receiving healing, he says, it's because they feed their bodies three hot meals a day and their spirit one cold snack a week. That's the problem. They're weak spiritually. I mean, sometimes you have to have spiritual strength to stand. And having done all to stand, it takes spiritual strength, not physical strength, but it takes spiritual strength to stand for the promises of God.
Hallelujah. I know. I've had to stand for some of them. And I've gotten weak before because I didn't keep myself strong. I'll close with this. I remember one time going through some trials. This is back several years ago. Going through some trials. And they were bugging me, man. I mean, they were getting to me. And, you know, it's just normal trial stuff that happens to all of us. We all face them. And I'm facing these trials and they're bugging me. And I start talking to God about it. If you don't want to know the truth, don't talk to Him, because He will tell you. And He said to me, He said, "Son," He said, "here's the problem." He said, "The problem is not trials. The problem is your strength. You've allowed your spiritual strength to get drained." He said, "That's why it's bugging you so much." Man, that was a revelation to me. And then, you know, He gave me the scripture, Proverbs 24:10, I believe it is, says, "He that faints in the day of adversity," the reason he faints is because his strength's small. Not because of the adversity. It's the strength. His strength's small. And so, you know, I took that as a warning from God. And I began to really spend some time with Him and begin to feed my spirit man and to build myself up. And you know what? Guess what I found out? I found out God was right. The problem wasn't the trials. Trials are always going to be around. So if they can make you weak, you're going to be weak all the time. But how, you know, if you allow your strength, even small, to get weak, even small things begin to bug you. You know, this isn't a very heavy Bible. You know, today I've got different Bibles. I've got one, you know, it's kind of thick. It's about 4 pounds. It's kind of heavy, but this is a smaller one. This is my normal one. You know, I don't have any problem curling this. It's not like, ugh. See, I'm doing fine. Now, how many know, if you come back in about an hour, if I'm still doing this, it's probably going to be going a little slower. 2 hours, a little slower. You come back in 24 hours, I doubt I'm still doing this. Because what? I've zapped all my strength, see. And that's what happens to believers, man. They don't keep themselves, they don't realize this. You know, you know what I'm saying? When your stomach gets hungry, it growls. It lets you know. Phyllis says, "I panic." That's what she says. That's her version of the story. Well, how many know, really, there are, your spirit lets you know if you listen to it. A lot of people that mistake depression, and for really it's just their spirit is repressed.
That's right.
That's all it is. Right. If they feed their spirit, get into the house of God, worship God.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Like we did tonight. Yep. Hallelujah. Praise God instead of saying, "Well, I got, you know," instead of, you know, just letting your problems beat you down. Praise God anyway. Hallelujah. Feed on God's word. Pray, spend time with Him. They'd find out that depression would go away. There's no magic wand. You know what I'm saying? Listen, see, the problem is if I know there's people that maybe have some physical things really wrong with them, but I'd say the majority of people, what's wrong with them is, man, they're not built up spiritually. That's their problem. If they just build themselves up spiritually, they wouldn't be depressed. It's hard to stay depressed, man, when you're living in this kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. You know, kind of like it's hard to stay hungry when you're at certain places. Hallelujah. Amen. See, I don't want to plug a restaurant, but there's one restaurant here in town. Phyllis won't go to it. But man, I just really, really like it. It's a buffet. And she thinks it's like a feeding trough for pigs, you know. Like everybody's up there slopping their food around. See, I'm not an ambience guy like some people. I just want good food. Now, I will admit, one day we were sitting there eating. I got her to go because one of the grandkids wanted to go. And I got her to go. And I will admit, there was a lady standing not too far away from the food trough with a toilet plunger in her hand. And I did admit, that's a little going too far. You probably shouldn't do that. But man, the food's good. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So, you know, it's hard for me to be hungry sitting in that place, man. I'm going to press in. Hallelujah. Get out of my way, everybody. I'm pressing in. I mean, we need to be that way spiritually. Press in. Let's stand up. Come on, did you get something tonight? Amen. So our challenge, our charge from the Lord in 2022 is to press in and to keep going.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.